many Christians are very hurt and they're very confused because they prayed about something and God didn't answer their plea the way they asked. For instance, God, restore my marriage, and it ended in divorce. God, heal my loved one, and they died. God, meet this financial need, and the money didn't come. God, don't allow my child to make this mistake. But the child did it anyway. And they prayed in faith, and they prayed with all of their heart, but it didn't happen. You know, I've been there, and you've probably been there too. If we can't get this, something's wrong with it, isn't it? I don't know what happened from this morning. Can you guys hear me okay? Or up here, maybe I just need more A monitors in, William. I can't hear it all up here. All right, let's try it here. Testing, 1, 2, 1. Bring me up a little bit here in the A's. Okay. All right. You know, these things are a pain. You know that? They are. They are a pain. Does it sound okay out there? Huh? It's not right, is it? No, my wife's going. Something's still not right. Do you know where the old setting? Do you know where the settings are of the book? Okay, can we look at that and make sure? Okay, all right. Maybe it'll straighten out. You know, many preachers that I've listened to throughout the years present the subject of prayer in an almost a spooky, superstitious type of way. Prayer is almost like their lucky stone that they can rub and get whatever they ask for. And inevitably, they always use the prayer promises in the Gospels. When I say the Gospels, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they use those prayer promises in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as their proof text, whereby prayer, through prayer, you can kind of get what you want. And some of those I'll bring up real quickly, and I want you to see them real quickly. Matthew 16:19. I need more A's still. I'm still not getting anything in the A's. And I will give unto thee, Jesus said, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's go to the next one quickly. Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Let's go to the next one, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's look at the next one. John 14:13-14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, Jesus said, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, if people get what they asked for in prayer, they declare, see, it works, it works, prayer works. But if not, then they begin to doubt God's promises and doubt God's faithfulness, and they lament, well, this prayer stuff just doesn't work the way the Bible says. And as a young Christian, I must confess, I struggled with this thing. I would pray in faith, I would believe with all my heart, yet the answer never came. I would hear explanations, and, you know, I can remember one time as a kid, I remember praying with all my heart. I believed, you know, I read the thing where Jesus said, you know what, if you believe with all your heart, you can say to a mountain, move, and it'll move. And I remember getting on my knees and saying, Lord, I pray with all my heart. I believe, God, you're able to do it. And I pray you'll rain candy bars down in my front yard. And I remember one time praying that, and I got up and I looked out the window, and there were no candy bars, you know. And you know what, that's kind of funny. But it's not real funny, is it, when you have serious issues of life, like a loved one that's dying of cancer? You know, it gets real serious. Or a marriage that's about to break up, or a child that's wayward. You know, it gets real serious. And, you know, as a Christian, I struggle with this. And some of the explanations I heard didn't satisfy me. For instance, this is one explanation I heard about why these prayer promises don't always work. Is because it has to be in accordance with His will. And they go to 1 John 5, if we could bring that up. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we shall have the petitions that we desired of Him. But here's the thing. That was written 30 to 50 years after all those prayer promises were made by Jesus. That was written 30, 40, 50 years later. So if this was the disclaimer, so to speak, then why didn't Jesus tell them 50 years earlier? And then finally, I began to understand the importance of right division. The Bible says we must rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't rightly divide it, you come up with the wrong answers. And I realized that I had been taking verses completely out of their context and claiming their fulfillment. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say that Pastor Tommy has a letter on his desk. And I pick up the letter, and I begin to read his letter. And I read his letter, and there are some glorious promises that a person has made to him in that letter. And all of a sudden, I get all excited, and I begin running around claiming those promises. Is that going to work? Yes or no? No. You see, here's what you got to understand. The entire Bible is written for us. In other words, there is application, there is teaching, there's practical instruction, there's things that we can learn throughout the entire Bible. All of the Bible we can learn from, and it's written for us. But you got to understand, the Bible, all of it isn't written directly to you. In other words, believers living in the church age today. That's evidenced by the fact we worship on Sunday. In the Old Testament, it was Saturday. We eat certain meats. They weren't allowed to eat them in the Old Testament. You know, and so you've got to understand that all the Bible's written for us, but it's not all written directly to us. You have to look in the context. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to take these prayer promises that we just put on the screen, and I want to examine them in their context. And we are going to learn tonight these were valid prayer promises, and they were made to a specific group of people. We're even going to see why they were made. We're going to see their literal fulfillment in Scripture. I want us to first examine this. Let's see who the prayer promises were made to. And what I want you to do is take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter 16. Now, if you look in the context here, all right, the Lord Jesus Christ is with the 12 disciples, Peter, James, John, and the other nine. And He says in verse 19, here He's directly speaking to Peter, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, God grants unto Peter the power to bind and loose things. He promises that God in heaven will respond. A key is what? A key is a badge of authority. It's a badge of power. And this is given to Peter, but here's a shocker. It's not just given to Peter. As we're going to see, it's given to the rest of the 12, that badge of authority of binding and loosing. It's given to all of the 12. I want you to go to Matthew 18. Turn over there, Matthew chapter 18. Again, He's speaking to the 12, okay? He's speaking to the disciples. If you look at verse 1, you'll see the context. Look at verse 18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth," He tells all 12 of them, "whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you," the 12, "that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven," period. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Again, it's the 12 disciples. Verse 20, we see that. Look at verse 21. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, But also, if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And how many things? All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Do you see the order in verse 22? He said, you ask it, you believe it, and you will receive it. Go over to Mark chapter number 11, the next book. Mark chapter 11. Turn real quickly with me. In Mark 11, verse 22. Again, here we are. It's the 12. The 12 disciples, later the 12 apostles. Okay? Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Period. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall what? Have them. What's the order here? Desire, pray, believe, receive. What's the order there in the verse before it? Say it. Verse 23. He said, just say it, believe it, and you'll have it. Go over to John 14. John chapter 14. John 14, verse 13. I think what really brought this to my forefront of my mind was that church in Tampa. And their pastor is 40 years old, has three kids under 10 years old. And that church prayed, and they prayed in faith for him to be healed. He had literally thousands of people here in this church, their church, all over Tampa. The funeral was absolutely packed. There was probably 50 preachers at that funeral. And they were, I know everyone was praying in faith, and he wasn't healed. He died. And that's kind of what brought this to mind. Look at John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Again, who's he talking to? He's talking to the 12. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is clear. Ask it in my name, I will do it. Now I want you to mark something very carefully. These promises were never made in public to crowds. They were never made in public to just anybody. Each time these promises were made, he was speaking specifically to his 12 disciples, later the apostles. This authority was granted to them in light of the position that they were going to hold in Israel's kingdom. Look back at Matthew chapter 19, if you would. Go back there. We're going to be flipping back and forth a lot, so try to be with me, and let's try to be brisk and let's do this quickly, all right? Matthew 19:28. Let's go to verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? He's asking, what are the 12, us 12, what are we going to receive? Look at verse 28. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. That's talking about when he comes back and Israel receives that kingdom on earth. Look what he says. Ye also shall sit upon how many thrones? 12 thrones. Which, by the way, in case you are thinking, Judas Iscariot was replaced by Matthias. Okay? So he says, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of who? Israel. So now, let's get it. Who is Jesus talking to when he makes these prayer promises? He's addressing his 12 disciples. He's addressing his inner core. Okay? Now, let's move on to this. What was the time context of these promises? Well, these prayer promises were made in the context of Israel's kingdom. Go back to Matthew 10. I want to show you the time context. Matthew 10. Grab a little more A's, William. In Matthew 10, look with me at verse 5. Then it says, these 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You know what? That's not the commission we have, is it? Their commission was, do not go to the Gentiles. You're going specifically to the nation of Israel. That's who I'm sending you to. Well, what were they to preach? Look with me at Matthew 9, verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the what? The kingdom." Look at chapter 10, verse 7, okay, where we just were. He said, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," verse 7, "and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of," or from heaven, the kingdom that, remember, he told them to pray, "not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom that God prophesied would come from heaven and would be on the earth. The kingdom from heaven. Okay? So he said, you go out and you preach this kingdom. The 12 disciples, now get this, they were looking for Jesus to establish that earthly kingdom church that had been prophesied, the Bible says, since the world began. They were looking for the establishment of Israel's kingdom on this earth. They were preaching that it was at hand. They were preaching it was near. And that's what they were looking for. And that kingdom church that Christ would build on this earth with Israel, that was going to be built on the declaration of Christ as Messiah, as King. Look at Luke chapter 22. Let's turn over there. Luke 22. Look at verse 28. Look what he tells the 12 here. Look, he's telling them what their place is going to be in that future kingdom church. Look at Luke 22, 28. He says, "Ye are they," speaking to the 12, "ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of what? Israel." That's what they're looking for. Now you got to understand that the 12 disciples at this point had absolutely no understanding of the present day body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, as you and I live in today. They didn't understand that. The kingdom church was to be built on the declaration of Christ as Messiah. But our church, the body of Christ today, we're not built on the declaration of Christ as Messiah. The church today is built on the declaration of Christ crucified, buried, risen again, and exalted in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1, 20-23. Did you know that the very foundation of this church age that it's built on, which is Christ crucified, buried, and risen, did you know they had no understanding of that truth? The most basic truth that our church today is built on, they had no understanding of it. Go with me, and I want to show it to you. Look at Luke 18. Go back to chapter 18. Luke 18, verse 31. Now, this is important. You got to understand this. Look at Luke 18, 31. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." And they understood what? None of those things. None of these things. "And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Now, are you getting the time context for those prayer promises? When were the prayer promises made? They were made in a time when Israel's kingdom on earth was being prepared for. Israel's kingdom was being prepared for, and God made these promises to the 12 in view of that coming kingdom. I'm going to bring a chart up right now, if you would, that may help you. In the Old Testament, that kingdom of Israel was prophesied. Along comes Jesus and the 12. They declare that kingdom to be at hand, to be near. Within the context of them preaching this kingdom to Israel only, he makes these prayer promises, and they're always made to the 12. Okay? Now, Christ dies upon the cross, and we're going to see now in Acts 1 through 7, we're going to see these prayer promises being fulfilled to the 12 apostles. Now, here's what I want you to get right now. These prayer promises were not made to the church, the body of Christ, nor are any of those reinforced in any of Paul's writings to the church. Paul wrote 13 books to the church. You will search in vain for him to reiterate those prayer promises that were made to the 12 by Jesus. Those prayer promises were made to the men who were going to be pillars in Israel's future kingdom on earth. Now, in Acts 1 through 7, we are going to see the fulfillment. I want you to turn over there. What did Jesus, Acts chapter 1, what did Jesus mean by these promises? Were they legitimate prayer promises? Most definitely they were. These were prayer promises that were made, and they were very legitimate, and they were legitimate for the people, the purpose, and the time period in which they were given. Now, this is important. Listen to me, church. You got to be good students, and you got to rightly divide. You can't just lift whatever you like out of context in the Bible. You can't do that. You get in all kinds of trouble. Listen, you know what? You can stand on the promise that God's going to give you manna from heaven, and you can stand on that biblical promise all day long, but don't expect manna to plop you on the head. You say, well, why not? It's a promise. Yeah, but it was made to a specific group of people at a specific time for a specific purpose. Don't look for manna today. See, you're claiming a promise that wasn't written to you. Now, it's written for us. We can learn from it. We can make application, but it's not written directly to you. You know what? You can get thirsty out mowing your grass, and you can just claim the promise that water is going to come out of that rock in your front yard. But it's not going to happen. Why? Because that promise wasn't made to you. It was made to a specific group of people for a specific time and for a specific purpose. You see my point? That's where this prayer of Jabez stuff got all off. They're going to an Old Testament saint living under the law, and they're trying to claim these prayer promises that this guy Jabez spoke under the law. And I did 4 weeks of teaching on that, showing you how utterly ridiculous it is to go around naming and claiming this stuff, and God, you're going to enlarge my territory, and all this stuff has nothing to do with a believer living in the body of Christ today. Is there something we can learn from it? Sure. We can learn from that, you know what? It's okay to take your petitions and your requests to God. And praise the Lord, we know that God does answer prayer, and we can learn a principle from that. But to sit there and try to claim prayer promises made to Jabez in the Old Testament, living under the law, is quite ridiculous. And we studied that out. You have to be very careful when you study the Scripture. Specific promises and commands are given to specific people at different times, whatever those needs are at that time. You must look at Scripture in context. Let me say that again. You must look at Scripture in context. I'm telling you right now, you turn on your radio and you can listen to whoever, and you know what? You can turn on your TV, but I'm telling you right now, you better be careful that preacher is not lifting things out of context. Now, what about these prayer promises? Well, we know they were made to the 12, and we know Jesus meant what he said. He said what he meant, and we see the fulfillment to the letter of these prayer promises in Acts 1 through 7. Now, here's the time context. Look at Acts 1, verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, when they, the 12, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to who? So what are they looking for? They're looking for the establishment of that kingdom. They hadn't been told any different. They knew nothing of the body of Christ. They knew nothing of a time of grace that we live in today. They are looking for the establishment of that kingdom. They thought it was going to come. Christ was going to overthrow the Roman Empire and rule and reign. And when he died, they thought it was a tremendous setback. They thought it was all lost. They thought the hope's gone. He's dead. Well, now he's risen from the dead. He's appearing to them for 40 days. They've got renewed hope. Are you going to restore the kingdom? Like we've been preaching to Israel, that the kingdom is near. Are you going to restore it? Well, Jesus promises to them. He never really answers that question. He just says to them in verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in His own power. But He does make them a promise that they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. If you look over at Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So at this point, I want you to see something. Christ has ascended. He has sent back His Holy Spirit. The 12 disciples are supernaturally endowed with and led by God's Spirit. Once again, they preach strictly to the nation of Israel. Acts 2:36, if you want to turn over there, it says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly. They are preaching to the house of Israel strictly. Look at Acts chapter 3, and I want to show you something here. Look at the subject of their preaching. Their preaching is to Israel, and it's focusing on Israel repenting. Look at Acts 3:18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. Then they tell Israel, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's a reference to the kingdom, folks. Verse 20. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. That's that millennial kingdom which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Did Israel repent nationally? Yes or no?
No.
They imprisoned and they beat, they persecuted the 12, and they even murdered Stephen. But now, here's what I want you to see. In the early part of Acts here, while the kingdom is being offered to the nation of Israel, as we just saw in Acts 3, that kingdom's being offered. You know what happens? The apostles get a little foretaste of the power and the authority that they're going to have in Christ's kingdom. The apostles make no mistakes. They make no blunders. When they prayed it or they said it, it happened, just like Jesus told them it would. And this was a foretaste of that kingdom authority and power they would have. In Acts chapter 3, I want you to look with me, Acts 3, verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. This is a crippled man wanting to be healed. Actually, he's wanting money. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's not even a prayer here. He just commands it. He just says it. He just is binding and loosing. And he's doing exactly what Christ said that he was going to give him power to do. What happens? Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. If you look up on the screen, let's bring up Mark 11, 23. Do we have that? That scripture in Acts is a fulfillment of what he told the 12 here. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what? Saith. Man, Peter just says it and it happens. Look at John 14. This is a fulfillment of this. And whatsoever ye shall ask, he tells the 12, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, remember what he said? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up on your feet and walk. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Look at Acts chapter 4 with me. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard that, notice here we've got the 12. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. They're with the 12 are there with the assembly. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to go on down here. Verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Here we have a fulfillment, Matthew 18. If we'll bring it up, please, Matthew 18. "Verily I say unto you," he said, "whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." The 12 gather with the church. They're in unity. They're together. They're praying in agreement. They're saying, "Lord, we want you to do this." And boom, immediately it happens. Look at Acts chapter 5. Here we have Ananias and Sapphira who lied, remember, about the land. They said they sold all their land, but they didn't. They kept back part of it. Peter, man, has knowledge into that. Why? Remember, he's supernaturally endued with power from the Holy Spirit. And in verse 9, "Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? He said, Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out." You know what he just told her? "You're going to die, lady." Now, here's a human man that has the boldness to just say, "You know what? The same folks that just carried your husband out on a stretcher, you're going out too." Verse 10, then she what? Fell down. She fell down straightway. Can you imagine if people had that power today? You know, you're dead, Mark Kathman, you know. Imagine. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, carrying forth. What's this a fulfillment of? Look at Matthew 16, 19 on the screen. He said, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He said, "You know what? Same ones that carried out your husband, you're going to die too." Boom, she died. Acts 5, look at 15 and 16. Acts 5, 15 and 16. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about the Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and they which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed." How many? This is a fulfillment of Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire," he tells the 12, "when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them." And it's also a fulfillment of this. John, "Verily, verily," Jesus told the 12, he said, "I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He told the 12, "You're going to do greater works than me," and they did. Jesus, there's no record Jesus ever healed anybody with his shadow. The people that just came in contact with their shadow was healed. That's a fulfillment of this. Look at this. "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now, here's my point. I got to hurry. We see all these prayer promises in the Gospels fulfilled literally. Now hear me. No mistakes, no misfires, no blunders. The 12, they could bind, loose, say it, claim it, and it happened. You say, "Brother Dan, why would God grant such power to men to be able to just bind something and then God answers? Loose it and God does it. Say it and it happens. Why would God grant unto men so much power?" Here's why. Because remember, this is a foretaste of the kingdom. And in the kingdom, Israel will be supernaturally indwelt by God's Spirit. And they will be so indwelt and so controlled by God's Spirit that they will just naturally do those things. This is a fulfillment of Joel 2:28 and 29. Under God's kingdom program for Israel, see, they are supernaturally endowed with God's Spirit. God was using signs and wonders and the miraculous power of the apostles. Why? To call Israel to repentance. Let's bring this back up again. Remember, the Bible says, let's bring the chart up. The Jews require a sign. The kingdom is prophesied. Jesus and the 12 say the kingdom's at hand. Jesus says, hey, here's what I'm going to do for you. 12 is the 12. You're going to sit on 12 thrones judging Israel. You're going to have keys. You're going to have authority. You're going to have power. And here's what I'm going to do for you. And then we see all that literally fulfilled right here in Acts 1 through 7, where the kingdom is offered to Israel and Jesus' prayer promises to the 12 are fulfilled literally. Now, what happened was is Israel rejected that kingdom offer. But you know what God did? Instead of God pouring out His wrath on Israel and the world like He prophesied He was going to do, there was a hidden mystery. It was hidden in God from the foundation of the world. And that, if we could bring it up, that mystery is the body of Christ. And we're living in a day and age in which that kingdom for Israel has been postponed. One day over here, it's going to happen again. Okay, there's going to be 7 years of wrath, which was going to happen here. But this was hidden. It was a secret. See, this was a secret that God kept hidden until He revealed it to Paul. He saves Paul in Acts chapter 9 and begins to reveal to Paul this mystery, this time of grace that God's been pouring out to this world. And so that kingdom program for Israel has been postponed. Now, a Jew has to be saved just like a Gentile. They have to come and they have to accept Jesus Christ. They have to put their faith in Him. They're Jews and Gentiles, the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon Him. You see, today, that kingdom program for Israel has been set aside. We're living in a parenthesis. We're living in a time of grace. That's going to end at the rapture, and the prophetic program for Israel will resume right here at the 7 years of tribulation. At the end of those 7 years, Christ is going to return to the earth. Those times of refreshing and the time of restitution of all things will take place, and Israel's kingdom will be established, and the 12 will be sitting on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. You say, Pastor Dan, well, what about today? Do men possess these same powers? Can they just pray it in faith? Can they just speak a word of faith and have it happen instantly? Can someone have such power to heal? They can just heal instantaneously every person, as God said. I see no evidence of it at all. Now, there are people on TV that claim to have that ability. There are those who claim these prayer promises back in the Gospels that God gave to the 12. They claim this apostolic power today, and that they claim that they have these apostolic powers. But you know what? The proof's in the pudding. They don't have it. If they had it, you know what? They'd be like the apostles. They'd be out in the streets. Amen? They'd be out in the public instead of up on a stage where they've set everything up and they've picked out the people they want to come up and all that funny business. You say, why don't people have that today? There's no need for it. The apostles have all died, and Israel's program has been temporarily suspended. Now, when Israel's program resumes, right here, when the prophetic program resumes, it's interesting that we're going to see that miraculous power demonstrated again. Read Revelation 11 about the two witnesses. They're going to have those same powers in the last days. You say, well, okay, Brother Dan, I see now the time context. I see who the promises were made to. I see all that. But Brother Dan, does the body of Christ, the church, do we have any prayer promises? We, in fact, have some glorious prayer promises. And they were given to us by Christ, not on earth. God gave us these prayer promises through Christ and His ascended position in heaven. And He appeared from heaven to Paul. And then Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, gave us some glorious prayer promises for today. They're not of the name it and claim it variety, because we're not living under God's prophetic kingdom program for the nation of Israel. We're part of the one body, the body of Christ. We're living in the mystery program as revealed through the Apostle Paul. And we have some glorious prayer promises that God's given us. Oh, they're different than those of Israel's kingdom program, but they're glorious prayer promises. You say, Brother Dan, what are they? I'm out of time. And I wish I had time, but we will get into this. And I'm going to take a little break from Corinthians, and we will examine these in the coming weeks, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, and we will examine these prayer promises for us today at a future time. Father, we pray.